Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Wellness Wednesday.
That's right. It's a great day. We are happy to be here. This is Elder Care Radio, brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, where we try and bring you the latest and most well-respected information from reasonable sources about health care for our elderly community.
Right. We really do. We sincerely want to just help you have the best quality of life for as long as possible. And we want to inform everybody of resources and benefits that are available to you. Please give our office a call if you ever have any questions. If we cannot help you directly in our office, we will find you the resources that are available federally and on a state level.
Right. While we would love to provide care for everybody in this community every day, we know that not everybody's eligible for that, but there are other resources and things that are available. And this program, we hope, it allows us to help people live their better life earlier. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today.
Well, before you get started, hi, Andy.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am, you know, pretty darn good. I made my trip to China and came back, and I feel good. Not really to China.
The Wuhan, China.
Yeah.
Yes.
The COVID. But,
I feel 100% now. And
you're over the Coronas rainbow.
Yeah. Somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Now you're at the pot of gold at the end. And by the way, don't we have beautiful weather? I mean, we've had some very high temperatures, but just short-lived. It's so beautiful.
It's supposed to rain today. I don't know. I was looking at Doppler radar just now. That's what I was doing when you asked me the question. And the storm seems to be going around us to the northeast.
Maybe, but I spoke with my sister this morning, and it is pouring in Cedar City.
Cedar City, yeah.
Pouring again.
So you brought up the Corona thing, and last week we did COVID good news.
Yeah.
And we got a number of calls.
Oh, we did.
And I just want to clarify some things. When gave some information about ivermectin and its potential effectiveness and that it's starting to become a reasonable option.
Okay, and I always have to interject here. This is not our personal opinion. Everything that we share with you, if you want to know the resources or site indexes, please give our office a call. 435-477-6999. You can give us your email address and I will forward all the site addresses for you. I don't like people to think that we just come on here and share our opinions about things.
And try and stir things up and make it more. And that's really the point. Yeah. That information was not about, you know, any argument that somebody may have one side or the other. It's that there is better news for everybody. You know, that protocol improves everybody's outcome.
There's
no matter where you are now.
Information available, and we're only seeing a small piece of it. And the information that we shared last week was almost completely from
the National Institute of Health, the NIH, which is the overseeing body for the CDC, and they just published information and studies, and so that's a great place to find that.
They do science studies for the CDC and give recommendations for the CDC, but we don't often hear about what the results of their studies were. So last week we went through some of their studies on ivermectin. We went through their conclusive research and what their conclusions were, and we had that information on the show. Again, I just wanted to interject that to make sure you all knew that we are not just spewing our opinions about things, and we really are not on one side of the aisle. We're on an informed society. We stay right in the center and want you to know that there are two sides. So always be your best medical advocate by knowing all the information, which brings us to where we are today.
Right.
More on the medical advocacy and that there is more information available to you, but you probably don't realize that.
Right. But the good news about the good news is that there's more research being done and more therapies that are being considered and some proof that's coming out. And so everything is looking better on the COVID side, in spite of the fact that we keep hearing, oh, it's terrible, it's terrible. Well, if we're only looking at one small part of it, then we can build this terrible story. But if we take a bigger, broader view, then there's a lot of good news. And so we like to share that. But
remember, news is drama, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to focus more on the sensationalism because that's what keeps people listening. So we just want, especially our elderly community who have been suffering with isolation this last 18 months, we just want the community to know that there is a balance. There is some things, positive things to look at and some other information available if you want to hear it. You can still make your own opinions. We're not trying to sway anybody's opinions. We're just trying to inform so that you can be your own best medical advocate and make the decisions that are right for you as an individual and your family.
Yeah, we'll leave all the political arguing to other parts of, you know, the week. Andy, you have to field those. We're just going to provide the good news about, you know, the healthcare side and how we can improve our lives. And that's really the goal. So today we really want to focus on a different part of this and something that in the elderly community, something we really need to be concerned about or knowledgeable about at least. And that is how prescriptions affect us when it comes to nutrient deficiencies. And we may have heard some of that. There are certainly articles that are being published. But I want you to know that what our goal here today is to just say it's pretty easy to find out for yourself a nice amount of information that applies directly to you and that you can use that to go talk to your physician and get better information so that you can be better prepared to manage your care long term.
And again, our show topics come from either information that has been revealed to us that we find as a new and interesting tidbit of information, or it comes from calls and questions that we are fielding from our radio audience listeners. So in this specific case, we've had this as a constant, question. It was interesting to us when it was brought to our attention as we started introducing, medications to our patients. And our pharmacists were so very informative, and we kind of thought to ourselves, wow, you know, we've had medications over the years, and our pharmacies were never that informative and descriptive of the consequences or the nutrient imbalances and deficiencies that arose as a result of taking medications. And so before we started this show, I went to a couple of before we wrote this program and decided to present this program, I went to a few pharmacists and asked the question, when people are picking up their prescriptions, do you take the time to discuss not only drug interactions, but also deficiencies, vitamin and mineral and nutrient deficiencies that arise as a result of taking these? And do you know what the answer was by and large? And I also thought this was interesting, but it made sense to me. The pharmacists, all of them said, we start with the drug interactions and we'd love to share what we know, but we try to read the clients coming up as far as what information they're willing to stand and listen to. But nine times out of 10, people really say they deny the counseling. No,
I
understand.
I'm good.
I'm good. I know it. And they walk away. Everybody's in such a rush and such a hurry to get to the next step or to get their shopping done or to just move on that nobody stops and listens. But let's be honest, everyone likes to share their knowledge, right? Pharmacists, doctors, they want to share with you what they know. If you would take 5 minutes to pause, but also if you knew to ask the questions, you would be able to gather the information from your pharmacist so that you can go on to your doctor and advocate for yourself. When you're given a prescription, and they're doing blood tests, make sure that they're testing for the common deficiencies in the medication you're on. And so this is really an interesting program today, and I hope everybody's really taking the time to listen intently to see if you're on any medications that have a common knowledge of the deficiencies that they will cause. Mm-hmm. Because if we're getting deficiencies, then we will also have other symptoms that arise as a result.
And so we want you to have the absolute best health care, and we know that being your own best medical advocate will contribute to that. If you are informed about your conditions, about the things that may be affecting you. If you do a little, just a little research, and you find out, for instance, if you're on a proton pump inhibitor, you know what, PPI, which is Prilosec or Nexium or Prevacid, those are all over the counter. There are some other ones. And if the generic term of that ends in prazole, okay, so meprazole or esomeprazole, if that phrase is at the end, then it's a protein pump inhibitor. And if you know that you're on one of those, you really should know how it affects you. Now, we know that their main purpose is to reduce the acid in our stomach, because we are trying to cut down on heartburn, which is that esophageal reflux. These are all terms we've heard. So reducing the acid in our stomach, well, you know, our body's originally intended with all that acid to accomplish some things, like being able to tease out micronutrients from the food that we have. And if we don't break that loose, we aren't able to take it in. So if we're on PPIs, just to cover that, you maybe have a reduction in your iron. You could have a reduction in calcium, magnesium, zinc. And if you're not checking those things, then you're not going to know. So there were just some interesting points along the way. The collective evidence, and I'm just reading from this, indicates that chronic PPI, proton pump inhibitors, use is associated with increased fracture risk, particularly in individuals who may already be at risk of fractures, such as, and this is the topic of the conversation, older adults, and is also a consideration in factors for osteoporosis and fracture risk by the National Osteoporosis Foundation. The deal is if you've been on PPIs for a long period of time, you probably have reduced the calcium in your bones. And as we get older, fractures become a real critical issue. So if we know that in the beginning, or today, if you know, okay, so I'm on a PPI, I should probably be trying to adjust my calcium. We're not suggesting you go this alone, but have a conversation with your doctor and say, hey, I really want to know where I'm at on my calcium level. Do I need to increase it? And if I do, how's the best way to go about it?
And remember, doctors are trying to glean from you how much information you really want. So if you seem like you're overwhelmed with the information you already received today, they may not have that discussion today and just assume that they will watch that for you. But as we've discussed before, doctors have lots and lots of patients. So if you walk out the door and they forget to put in that narrative, continue to watch the calcium levels, iron levels, what have you, then, you know, that might go missed. And then you start having fractures and bone breaks and other issues that come up as a complication. And again, you could have prevented it, because it's your responsibility to advocate for yourself. You have to be your own best medical advocate. We can't just lay everything on the feet of the doctors and just say they will do everything.
Mm-hmm. So on the PPIs, another thing that I found was interesting, and that just it says one study, omeprazole administration at a 60 milligram per day for 1 week in healthy adults almost doubled the pH of fasting gastric juice. That means they've reduced the acidity of your stomach acids, and decreased plasma zinc levels by 40%, approximately 40%. That's in 1 week.
That's a huge number in a week.
And if you're doing that every week, week after week, then your zinc levels may be low. And in a different part of the study, it was kind of interesting that, and I'm just going to find that real quick. Okay, so you go ahead and talk. I'm going to.
Okay, so we don't want you to just jump in and start supplementing.
No.
We want you to discuss with your doctors. Be knowledgeable and informed. And it's really quite easy. You just Google search nutritional deficiency in...
And whatever your drug is.
Whatever the drug is.
Just type those words in. And there will be data that comes up and interesting information. And if you are better prepared to talk to your doctor about it because you have a little bit of knowledge, your doctor's going to appreciate it. Talk to your pharmacist. He'll appreciate that opportunity to share with you and educate. So this was kind of an interesting point that came out of the study. Long-term treatment with ACE inhibitors, and we're just talking about zinc again, so I'm kind of jumping around, but ACE inhibitors, particularly captopril. So if you're using captopril, this is especially important, can cause low zinc. Given that the loss of taste, and this was the point that I thought was interesting, given that the loss of taste is a symptom of zinc deficiency, Did you know that, Andy?
I did not know that. I know it was a symptom of coronavirus, so there's got to be some kind of link there, maybe.
All right, well, you're tying that back in. But I think the loss of taste is an interesting thing, that zinc deficiencies can cause that, and that captopril had a real effect on taste acuity and the status of that in hypertensive patients who've been on ACE inhibitors for 6 months or more. Now, that's considered long-term, but we're talking about people who are on ACE inhibitors for years and decades.
Yeah.
And how does that work? Well, if it reduces our zinc and our zinc has other affects other parts of our body, we really need to be looking at that. Again, we're not suggesting you just start freebasing, you know, zinc tablets all day, every day. Get some information.
Be aware. And ask the questions. So, I mean, just quickly, don't forget those proton pump inhibitors reduce the levels of vitamin B12, calcium, magnesium, and zinc.
That's right. So those we all know about, and along with that little beta carotene problem. So you can find out what could be affecting you and find out what those deficiencies mean to you. And you may sense some things. Interesting, in another area we talk about, one of the things that we lose when we're on statins is CoQ10. That's one of the deficiencies that come up. And CoQ10 contributes to muscle pain. And so if you are on a statin and you have muscle pain, many times doctors will say, well, that's just, you know, part of the process. But they show a study, consistently report that statin treatment lowers serum CoQ10 levels in patients with high cholesterol, particularly in the elderly. Thought that was important. So if we have that problem, CoQ10 may be a solution instead of, and there was an interesting point made in the beginning of this article where it talks about there's a huge number of studies that have been done on drug-to-drug interactions, and there's very, very few that are drug-to-nutrient interactions. In fact, it says there's a 100-fold difference. So if we're with the limited information we have about drug-to-nutrient information, but those things can be important, we should really take care of that. And because there's limited information, doctors don't necessarily diagnose that stuff properly, especially if they don't consider it. A lot of people have conditions that may be a result of a drug they've been on for a long time, and that condition may appear to be similar to something else, and a doctor may try and treat the similar issue instead of the underlying issue.
That, and keep in mind, doctors have about 20 minutes of FaceTime with you.
And 1,300 patients or so?
Yeah, they're going to go through the things that they see as most important before they run out of that FaceTime. So, and part of that are niceties. Hi, Andy. How you doing? How are your kids? How's your wife?
So if you walk in and say, man, I've got this muscle pain, they may say, well, I can give you an opioid for that.
Yeah.
But if you say, well, I've got this muscle pain and I'm on these ACE inhibitors, and I know that, or I'm sorry, on these statins, and I know there's some correlation.
Could it be CoQ10 and potassium? Can I increase those levels? Do you have my labs to show where my levels are? You know, be an advocate for yourself.
You're going to get a lot more out of that 20 minutes than you would otherwise. So we really think that it's important that you just be a little more knowledgeable about it. Don't just allow your medical care to happen to you. Participate. Be an active source of information. Because your doctors will be able to do better at providing you care if you can be more specific about the reasons that you may be suffering from some symptoms. So let's see, some other important things. If you're on ACE inhibitors, it also affects potassium, but it's in a reverse way. Now, ACE inhibitors, we try and, you know, reduce our blood pressure, and some other recommendations for reducing blood pressure is reducing salt in our diet. And when we reduce salt in our diet, we usually increase the potassium in our diet. But ACE inhibitors have shown to have us retain potassium, which means we can get into critically high potassium levels if we're not aware. So those are one of those things, and your doctor can test for it. So if you have a drug that's dealing with, may affect your B12, which is common, you can test for your B12 levels. And if your B12 levels are low, you can do some things to resolve that. You can take some oral B12. You can, you know, start using ZipFizz or some of those other products that are just, you know, massive in that. There are B12 injections. But these are all questions to discuss with your physician. We just want you to be more engaged in this and get more out of your healthcare. And that's really what our goal here is. So NSAIDs, aspirin, can reduce your vitamin C, your iron, they can have, you know, huge effects on a lot of things. But on the iron side, again, there's a study of elderly patients with a mean average of 82 years, and they were all diagnosed with iron deficiencies and anemia from that. And they found that those that were in there, a significantly higher proportion of those had anemia that was related to an aspirin regimen. Now, how many of us are on an aspirin regimen and we don't realize that we're reducing our iron, and so we end up anemic instead of just being addressing that? So,
and let's address it before we have anemia.
Yeah. If we can be proactive in the beginning, we solve all these problems that can come up later.
But remember, you can take too much iron. So again, consult with your physician, but be an informed patient.
So we hope that we've kind of give you some insight. We didn't want to go through all of the drugs and all of the interactions. That becomes pretty boring, and it doesn't apply to most of us. Each of us have certain drugs that we're using, and those would be the ones that you should review. If you have questions, give us a call. Our phone number, 435-477-6999. We would love to talk to you about it.
That's Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We are changing the face of hospice care in southern Utah. We do see patients in Cedar City as well. I was told by one of my Cedar City patients to say that, because for a long time they didn't know we were in Cedar City. Right. We are. We're in southern Utah. But give our office a call with whatever your questions are. But your homework this week is search the nutrient deficiency in every medication that you're on. If you can do that and make a list of it, then you'll have a great start of a conversation to have with your doctors so that you can proactively be a part of advocating for yourself on your medical needs and best interests.
And as we've been changing the image of hospice in southern Utah and getting people to understand what it can be, and we have more and more people who are getting excited about this, we are growing, and we are looking for more people to participate with us. And so if you know somebody, a nurse or a CNA who has a passion for giving good care for patients and really wants to be part of a change and making people's lives better, we would love to talk to those people. Now, we know that we don't reach everybody through this radio program. I know it's only, you know, 60-70% of the community. But for those people who you may know that don't listen to this program, let them know that we would like to talk to them about what we can do and how they can provide better care. We know there are great hospice nurses that are working everywhere, and we just want to give them more support and ability to do more for patients.
If you need help with figuring out your nutritional deficiencies or the likelihood of nutritional deficiencies based on the medication that you're on, please feel free to give our office a call. What we'd like everybody in southern Utah to understand, that hospice is not a scary word, or it shouldn't be. It has been in the past, but it shouldn't be. It really is Medicare's number one best program, and you should take advantage of it, not later, but sooner. So at least know what the eligibility is. And here's why. The palliative care under home health is paid for out of pocket. In hospice, it's paid for by hospice. It falls under the hospice benefit. What does that mean to
you? Yeah, let me translate that. That means there's no cost to the patient to provide all the care that we provide.
More supplemental health.
And make their life much better. So if that's a possibility, we'd love to help.
To your home. Yeah.